Genesis chapter 42, verse 1.
Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do ye look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die.
Here we see the situation. They sold the Joseph long time ago. Nobody in his family thinking about Joseph. We did not see anywhere his brothers are saying, we miss Joseph on his birthday or any day. Not a single person was thinking about Joseph. But God was with Joseph, the Word of God says. Last week we learned that Joseph became the second man in the Pharaoh's kingdom. No one can lift hand or foot without Joseph's permission. And so now Joseph is a great man. Pharaoh got a dream, and Joseph interpreted the dream and says, 7 good years and 7 bad years. And just think that Joseph gave the dream and nothing happens. But God is so faithful. As soon as he got the dream, I believe in the same season, they got the plenty of food. And they start storing the food. Joseph had no idea or no way to telling his father and his brethren, you better store the food because the famine is coming. They had no idea. But when the famine came, that famine was told to Pharaoh, it will be in Egypt. But now that famine is spread to Canaan. Canaan supposed to be land of milk and honey. What happened all of a sudden? They have no food. Sometimes people are so prosperous. They have good jobs. They have all the luxury and everything. And they think they never will be poor in their life. But according to the word of God, the man can be king one day, another day he might be in the field eating grass. God can do anything. He can put one man on the throne, he can take man from the throne. So we have to learn that God is in charge. The land was a milk and honey, now that land has the famine. And now the Jacob is saying, why are you looking at each other's faces? What happened? They got frustrated. We don't have food. What are we going to do? They are looking at each other and no answer. Sometimes when you are in trouble, your brain doesn't work. You get so panicked. Some of the things you keep somewhere and you don't remember. You have no idea why this happening to me. I just kept the things few seconds ago, it was in my hand and I cannot find it. And people get frustrated. Now same way this, all 11 brothers, mother, father, and all 70 members in the family, looking at each other and no answer. Nobody said, let's pray. Nobody prayed. But as soon as this Jacob said, I heard there is a corn in Egypt. It's a bad land, the sinful people. Abraham went to Egypt and he had a problem. God said to Isaac, don't go to Egypt. And there was a famine in the land. Isaac didn't say, Lord, there is a famine in the land and you're telling me, don't go to Egypt. What's going to happen to me and my family? But the word of God says, and he sowed in the famine. That is in Genesis chapter 26. He sowed in famine and he got 100-fold in return. People might be thinking he's crazy. But he heard from the Lord. Maybe God inspired him to sow in the famine. And the enemy starts saying, wow, this Isaac is flourishing. And they got envy. Here, Jacob is a righteous man. His children, they commit sin, but they are not asking God, Lord, why this famine is coming to our land? We did something wrong to our brother. Please forgive us and give rain to our land. But people sometimes do not pray when they have some other source. For example, if you know the best doctor in town and you have a problem, you're not going to pray. Oh, I have a friend, the doctor. If you have a lawyer friend, I'm not going to worry about anybody. My lawyer friend will help. You have a police officer, a friend. You say, oh, I'm going to break the law, go and speed limit, breaking the law. And if the police calls, I'll call the supervisor. Doesn't work. There are governors. There are higher authorities. They are also caught, gave the penalty. So we cannot depend on the worldly people to help you. Sometimes they might help. But what I'm trying to say, when you have a problem, first thing, call upon God. If any problem comes, people go 911. That's a good thing to do. Now there are life alert. All the people have something in their neck and in their bracelet and something happened, just push the button and somebody will come to rescue. So now what happens? We have so many facilities. We have so many facilities. Why we have to trust in God? Let's push the button and somebody will help you. Do you know you might have an ADT system and everything and you say, now we have nothing to worry. What happened? Thief comes, cuts the wire first, and you can call ADT or telephone is gone and everything. Nobody will be there. So what I'm trying to say, trust in God. Pray to God. Call upon God. If you did something wrong, repent. All of these things people didn't do. And somebody says, what happened? This is God's doing. This is the time God is going to fulfill the dream God gave to Joseph. So this has to happen. And when God gave a dream to Joseph, he might be waiting and waiting, years and years pass and nothing happened. Somebody might be thinking, oh, maybe I ate pizza, too much pizza or something. Or maybe I was crazy. If I didn't tell the dream to my brethren, I won't be in this trouble. But he trusted in God. Now the time has come. And the father says, go to Egypt. Get some corn. I heard there is a corn in Egypt. So now, 11 brothers. They are strong and healthy. They could go, everyone go, with their donkeys or camel or whatever. And they can buy as much as corn they want. Because we heard in this chapter, you'll see, Jacob was rich. They had a lot of money. So he gave the money to his children and said, go, get the corn. Let's read verse 3.
And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him.
See, now the Jacob is afraid. Things happened years ago. Joseph disappeared or killed or whatever he was thinking. But that fear still in Jacob's mind. That's what the psychology works. If you're walking on the street and you saw the snake going, you will not pass that street even though there is no snake. That's the fear built in your mind. And the word of God said the fear is opposite faith. If you have fear, you cannot get anything done by God. So the word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and sound mind. But now Jacob is a man of God, and he is living in fear. He says, you 10 people go, but I'm not going to send Benjamin. I do not want some mischief to happen to Benjamin. Joseph is gone, and this is my wife's, the beloved wife's son, the last son, the Benjamin is my right hand. I'm not going to let him go. So when you fear, something happens. You will be seeing later on. You read the Job story. And all of a sudden, his children were having a party. And somebody comes and says, oh, all your children got killed and this and that. Not a single person is alive. When we read about the Job, everybody knows that God said Job is the righteous man. There is none like him. Why the trouble should come to Job? Devil brought the trouble, but Job invited the trouble. You say, I never heard anybody saying that. But if you read the word of God, Job says, whatever I feared, those the thing came upon me. When you're living in fear, in prosperity, he had the prosperity. He had the servant. He has everything. He had everything. But he said, one of these days, my children are going to die. So let me make the sacrifice. One of these days, my houses will be burned. One of these days, all the animal will be disappear. And he lived in fear, in torment. And that's what the result was. Now Jacob is living in fear. Jacob is saying, I don't want to let Benjamin go. If you would have let the Benjamin go the first time, do you know the trouble will be less? Joseph will be happy seeing his brother, and more trouble will be not happening. Jacob will be coming soon to see his son. But see, because of your fear, because of your unbelief, the things delays. And somebody says, why God is not listening to me? And I'm saying all the time, why don't you go on your knees? Why don't you say, why Lord, why me, why me? Just pray. We have to trust in God. We cannot live in fear and anxiety. Whatever you fear, that will happen to you. So here he said, I'm not going to send Benjamin. You 10 brothers, you go. Now see what happens. Let's read the verse 5.
And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew him, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed of them, and said unto them, ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land are ye come. Ye are come.
Now see what happened here. Joseph's dreams comes true. As soon as these brethren came, he remembered them. God gave him grace to remember everybody. There's a lot of years difference now. But he could see. He could recognize them. God can give you spiritual eyes. I told you one day I prayed for one man and he was almost 3 feet tall. His legs were bent like this. And I prayed for him and I said, one day you are going to walk straight. Come tomorrow. He said, I cannot come tomorrow. I said, okay, I'm going to see you one day walking straight. And when you do that, give glory to Jesus. He said, yes. One day I'm walking in the market street. The one man coming to me, almost 6 feet tall. I said, this is the man was walking like a bent knees. I said, sir, and I showed him how he walked. Did you walk this way? Now just think, if that man was not the right man, he might slap me. So what are you making fun of me? But he said, how do you know? I thought I got the right man. I said, such and such a place, you came walking like this, and one man with a white dress, white clothes, laid hand on you and told you you're going to walk straight in Jesus' name. He said, yes. And he told me exactly that place and that man said. I said, that's me. He did not recognize me, but I recognize him, because the Spirit of God gave me the vision. This is the man. And I stopped him and talked to him. Same thing happening. All these 10 brothers, maybe mustache, maybe beard, maybe some clothes different, but he recognized them. And they are bowing down to him, and they are putting their head up to the ground. Joseph saw them bowing down their head to the ground. Not only like this, they bowed down to the earth, means they put their face to the earth. I mean, that kind of scene he saw. The word of God says he remembered the dream. This is what God showed me, and this is fulfilled. He didn't say right away, oh, my brethren, don't bow down. I love you. He wanted to give them a little bit taste of their medicine. You treated me like a trash. This is your time. Now he said, who are you? Oh, they told everything. He said, no. You are spies. You came here to do some damage to our country. And the spies means we are going to arrest you, we are going to kill you, because you are a troublemakers. And so if you read this, he repeating that several times, I'll point out to you. You are spies. You came here to destroy our country. And so they'll say, oh, no, we are not spies. Then prove it to me. If you're not spies, you prove it to me. And they start telling their story. Now, if you are a liar, and if you even telling the truth, people don't trust you. But if the person tells all the time truth, then you can trust that man. But if you lie all the time, and even though you're telling the truth, people don't trust you. Joseph knew, these are my brother. But he says, no, you are spies. Let's read the verse 10.
And they said unto him, nay, my lord, but by food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons, we are true men, thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come.
Again he said, don't tell me that you are the one man's children. I don't believe that. You came here as a spy. Okay, verse 13.
And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not.
Now they're telling the truth. They're saying, you know what? We are a good people. Our father has 12 children. One is lost. Joseph knows, I'm not lost. One is lost and one younger one with his father, and we are not spies. We are good people. See what he's saying, verse 14.
And Joseph said unto them, that is it that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies.
Again, this is the third time he's saying, don't tell me you are a good people, you are spies. And so more and more fear is building on those brethren. And if you remember, they say, oh Lord, we are your servant. And they're bowing down, and all these things they are doing it. He said, you are spies. Keep on reading, verse 15.
Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison. that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies.
See, this is the fourth time he's saying you are spies. Pharaoh means he's talking about himself. He's the Pharaoh now. He says the Pharaoh will kill you, destroy you. Only thing you could do, one of you go, and we keep everybody in prisoners, and go and bring the youngest one. And then I would know that you are a true people. So now these people are very troubled. Now they came for the food. They cannot take the food. They are going to go to prison. And see what they're thinking. Let's read verse 17.
And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, This do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses.
Now, Joseph felt bad. My brethren, they are in prison 3 days, but I don't think he treated them like a very criminal. Might have given good food and everything in prison and took care of them, and he started feeling guilty. Why am I putting my brother in the prison? So he said, I fear God. They had a good chance. Tell me, what God you fear? Our God is the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. We are the true worshiper of God. Pharaoh, tell me what God you worshiping. But they have no witness. When you're doing something wrong, smoking or drinking, even though you get a golden opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus, but you back off. If I tell them, they are going to say, oh, you don't look like a Christian. Then how am I going to testify? That's the story. These people had a good golden opportunity to witness to Pharaoh. You remember yesterday, we saw the midwives. When Pharaoh called them, why are you doing this and why this you are not killing the children of Israel? What they said, Pharaoh, the Israeli women are not like Egyptian ladies. They are strong and healthy. Before you go, they deliver the babies. Two ladies, they had a good witness and they were not afraid of Pharaoh. Here see 10 brethren, but they are shaking like anything and they had no strength to talk about God or anything. So they are scared and afraid. When you have fear, you cannot serve the Lord. You have to have faith in God. You have to have a clear conscience. You have to have pure life. You have to live for God. Then you have witness for the glory of God. But these people are so scared and they don't know what to do. And they are 3 days in prison. And after 3 days, he takes them out and he said, listen, I have fear of God. If you are true people, then what you do, keep one. Before he said, send one and you stay here. But he changed his mind. He said, what I'm going to do, I'll keep one person. Take the food, your family might be suffering. Go and take the food. And he showed love and favor and kindness and gave the food. And let's read the words 20.
But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and he shall not die. And they did so.
They did so, it says, because later on they did. But they didn't do right away because they got in trouble. Let's read the words 21.
And they said one to another, We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us.
Now they are repenting. They think, this is what we did. When Joseph, we put, tied him down, he put him in a pit, and he was crying, Oh brother, please don't do this to me. Please have mercy on me. They said, we didn't hear it. And what they were doing? They put the Joseph in a pit, and Joseph bought the food, and they are having good food and laughing and giggling and having good food, and they didn't care that Joseph is dying in the heat, and he's afraid, and he's not having food and drink or anything, and he's crying, "Oh, brother, please, please take me out." Maybe he called everybody's name. He might have said, "Please, I didn't do any harm to you. Please, I bought the food for you. I got the drink for you. Please have mercy on me. Don't kill me. Don't destroy me." And they said, "We didn't listen. We didn't listen to his torment. We didn't listen to his cry. And that's why this problem came to me." That's what the Word of God is saying. If you are going in trouble, if you have any problem, think, what did I do wrong? Why these things are happening to me again and again and again? And repent. Things will be better. But sometimes you read the Bible and God's trying to pointing out what mistake you did. Oh, no, this is not the right chapter. You go and you read another chapter. Other things pops up. Oh, this is not the right chapter. Today is not a good day to read Bible. This is what we do. When God showing you something, you repent. Don't hide from God. You can hide from your husband. You can hide from your wife. You can hide from your brothers and sisters and anybody. Even your boss. You cannot hide from God. The Word of God says in book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13. His eyes are open. He can see everything. There is nothing hidden in his eyes. He can see you anywhere you are. You go under the blanket, under the bed, under the sofa, or basement, or cover yourself with anything. God says, "I see you." And so what we should be doing, instead of not repenting, you should say, "Lord, I'm sorry." And sometimes you repent of something and devil will bring that thing again. Because the Bible said the devil is the accuser of the brethren. So that time, you say, "Devil, I already repented. I'm already washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't give me that garbage." Once you repent, it's done. You're cleansed. And so, here these people are talking to themselves. Joseph is standing by, listening everything. They're thinking this is Pharaoh. He doesn't know Hebrew language. And so they are talking about their guilt. See what happens. Verse 22.
And Reuben answered them, saying, "Spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And you would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them, and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes.
Now see, here he says, bound them before their eyes. That means, bound the Simeon, but when they left, maybe he lose him. And he said, "My brother, anyhow, I'm not going to keep you in a prison anymore. Maybe house arrest or something." But he might have lost him again. But the point I'm making here, these people were talking about Joseph. He heard it. And the Reuben comes. Reuben said, "Didn't I tell you? Don't do bloodshed." And he wanted to rescue him. And he wanted to take him to his father. But you didn't listen to me. And so Joseph saw, Reuben was trying to rescue me, but these people tried to harass me. And who told, sell the Joseph? Simeon. Simeon said, "Hey, we don't want to kill him. Let's sell him. So we don't want to kill him." So he knew. Simeon did some favor to me. Reuben did favor to me. But Reuben had a good heart. He didn't want to any harm. Come to his brother. So Joseph heard this. He could not take it. He went. He wept. He cried. Maybe hour later or 2 hours later, when all the thoughts went away, and wash his face and comes like again. He said, "Okay, people, I let you go. Let Simon be here." and tied him. And now this, now Simon is going to be here in prison until we come. And so, see what happens. Let's read the verse 25.
Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them.
Now, can you imagine? These are the people, he said, you are spies. You are bad people. But now he loves them, and he did not know how to show the love. There are some people, brothers and sisters, they say, I love my brother so much. I love my mom so much. But they never say, I love you. They never hug them. They never talk to them. When they die, so I wanted to say, honey, I'm sorry. I love you. I didn't say it. I wanted to give a hug, but I didn't give, and I'm sorry. It's too late. Once in a while, you have to say, I love you. Now I learn, I say sometimes. So point I'm making, you have to tell somebody, I love you. I care about you. The point I'm making, sometimes we do something wrong and not knowing. But these people did something wrong, now they're guilty. Now he said, okay, let's one person stay here and you people go. And what he's doing? He's giving all their money back to their bags. And those sacks are not small. They might be 20, 30 pound or 40, 50 pound. They got big sacks. You have to see in India, they are big, big under heavy people they can carry on their back. The point I'm making, he gave the money, he gave everything. And not only that, he says, to give them provision for their journey. Nobody does that. You bought the rice or corn, here is your corn and here is your money. But he said, you know what? My brothers going back, maybe a couple of days journey, they need food. Hey, Pharaoh. Hey, my servant. Cook some good, delicious food. Give them the food. Give them the water. Give them everything for their journey. And these people might be thinking, nobody does like that. You go to supermarket, and you buy the stuff and you go away. And you give the money, his money. I don't need your money. Take your money back. Does anybody does that? No. But this Joseph did it. Gave the money back, gave the ration, gave everything, and food for the journey. And they're coming now and getting break journey. Let's enjoy this Egyptian food. And somebody says, but how about our donkey? Oh, let's feed the donkey too. See what happens. Verse 26.
And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us?
Now, even the God did the favor. He said, what is God doing to us? And then, you know how the sack they do? When you put the thing, they thread it and completely seal it so grain will not fall. This man might have opened a little bit to get something, and right there, money. It might be other end, but God told him, open right this end. And there he saw the money. And they got scared. They didn't say, let's open everybody's bag and see, we got our money. They didn't say it. But they got scared. Something is cooking. The man giving us food, giving our money back. What this man has in his mind? We are spies. Sometimes, you know, I saw in America, it doesn't happen in India. If somebody wants to fire you, they give you party before they fire you. They give you party. They say good about you. They give you some kind of letters and this and that. And then next day or week, next week, you're fired. Somebody, why did they give me party in all of these things if they want to fire me? Why are they doing this? So you don't come and shoot them. That's why they're doing it. They want to give you party and you want to go in peace and everybody hugs and you're so special and this and that. So they don't want to let you know that we hate you. And so this is what these people are saying, oh, this man is doing some favor, but we don't know what is in his mind. If a stranger comes to you, honey, I love you, and give you a hug, he's a stranger man, and all, by the way, this is $100 for your, you know, gas or something. And you have to get a click in your mind, why this person is doing this to me. Maybe he's craving for me. Maybe tomorrow he'll be knocking at my door. I don't need this. Somebody say, honey, I love you. Thank you, sir. How about this $100? No, ma'am. No, sir. I don't need it. My God is sufficient God. Do not take money from strangers or even your friends when you have need. What do? Go to God. God is the source of your supply. But today's people, if they do some favor, they want favor return. Nobody gives you free lunch. So remember that. Okay, verse 29.
And they came unto Jacob their father unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, the man who is the lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, we are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan.
Now all of these things Jacob heard. He's not saying anything now. But see what happens a little bit further.
And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your household, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me, then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me.
Now see, up to now, Jacob was not saying anything. He didn't say, where is Simeon? Because when you have a crowd of people, and one person missed, you don't think that person is missing. Maybe he's in the bathroom, or maybe he's somewhere. He didn't say anything. Where is Simeon? And when they start opening the bags, and everybody's money there, and then they start saying, this is what happened. We told the man that we have 12 brothers, and they're all alive, and the younger one is at home, and one person is already missing. Something happened to him, and all this story they gave. And when they open this stuff, they have all their money. But Jacob and all these people are confused. Nobody's thinking, hey, you know what? We sold our brother to those people, the Midianites or Ishmaelites. Maybe one of our brother become this big person. Nobody thinks. Because they just like a blindness. They just thought that Joseph is not sold. Joseph is dead. They just wanted to take the Joseph out of their mind. Only they remember when they had a problem in Egypt. If you hate somebody, what you say? I want that person to die. First thing comes in your mind. But you should say, Lord, bless that person. I'll show you. There was one person wanted to kill his neighbor. And his neighbor molested his children. And he came to know. He wanted to kill him. He took a gun. He could not go to his house and kill. Then he will be going to jail. So he is taking gun and walking around where he goes, supermarket, or take a trip to somewhere. And he walking after him, but not getting chance to kill him. 2-3 years passed. And he got so frustrated, how I'm going to kill this guy. And so one day he's in a church, And pastor gives the message. You should forgive your enemy. And don't keep the grudge. That grudge will kill you. It's eating you. One man stood and said, sir, how can you say that? My neighbor molested my 3 children. And I can carry a gun to kill him. And you telling me to forgive? I'm not going to forgive him. He says, sir, if you don't forgive, you got 3 years to kill him. You could not kill him yet. And you are dying yourself. Give it to the Lord. And he repented. And he gave it to the Lord. And he comes to the man. He says, sir, I was carrying the gun for 3 years to kill you. What you did to my children, I forgive you. And next day the man dies. See how it works? God says, don't curse somebody. Bless them. Revenge is mine. God will take revenge. You don't have to take revenge. But you give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I cannot handle this man. I cannot handle this person. I want you to save this man. Let this man be a born-again Christian. So point I'm making, you have to show some love to your enemies. And God will do his job. Okay, let's read the verse 37.
And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my 2 sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again.
Now see, who is talking? Reuben is saying, you know what? We want to go and get some corn. We are hungry. We are wasting our time. We are dying. Let us go and get the corn. And he said, no way, I'm not going to send Benjamin. Let's read the verse 38.
And he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave.
What he's trying to say? Now they have corns, they have food. They bought the tents or 10 bags of food, and food is still there. And so he said, I am not going to let my Benjamin go and my gray hair down to the grave. Means, no way. I'm not going to let my son go. But see, you love somebody so much, but it comes to your life, then you don't care. Next chapter you'll see. Up to now he said, I love my son. There are people in the famine, you learn. That lady saying, okay, let's kill your son and eat today because, we have famine. And they are eating their own children in the famine. So here we see, Jacob is saying, I'm not going to let my son go and I'm not going to die like this. And so I'm going to stay here. Now he had a lot of chances. Let's pray together. All this corn we got, why the Egypt should be blessed? Why can't be we blessed? Let's pray. But when you have a problem, you don't think about praying. Sometimes we say, how about praying? I don't have time. So what are you doing? You don't have time to pray. Some people say, I don't have time. When they say, I don't have time, I say, do you eat food? What time you eat your food? 3 times? 4 times? Snack midnight? 5, 6 times you eat. You don't have time to pray? And you have time to eat. And some Christian people, even though they eat, they don't even pray for food. They are so hurry. As soon as they get food, I said, did you pray? No, not yet. I prayed in my mind. They lie sometimes. But point I'm making, we have to be thankful to God. Say, Lord, you are the source of our supply. Other day I saw the famine in America in so many places. And they say, let's pray for rain. And I say, Lord, I pray for those people. And then I heard, now the rain is going towards them. Texas didn't have rain, and some other country, other state didn't have the rain. So the point I'm making, all the believers should pray. Sometime America has a lot of food. And what they do? Lots of food, they throw it in the sea and wasteland. And I see in the restaurant, country buffet, people come and get the food because it's free, $10, as much as you can eat. So they might be wasting 5-6 plates. They are not thinking this food can be given to some other people. They will be hungry and eating. But if you see, the tons of food will be throwing in a garbage and gone. When I came to America, they were throwing trash everywhere. And I prayed, Lord, let these bottles and trash be collected and recycled. And they're doing it now. Jacob didn't pray. His people didn't pray. Why? Because they have to go back to Egypt. That's the plan of God. And we will be seeing next week. Whatever the problem they had, they could not figure it out yet. Why this is happening? But something is coming. Because God ordained these things, and their future is getting better. But this was the plan of God, because God talked to Abraham. All your descendants will go to Egypt, but not in your time. I let you die in old age, but your children are going to go to Egypt. How many years? 400 years, or the 4 centuries. So the 100 years is 1 century. And so that has to happen. And now that is happening in the time of his grandson Jacob. Now next chapter we'll be reading, Jacob will be going to Egypt. So God's prophecy and God's plan, you cannot change it. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God, a miracle-working God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are an unchangeable God. You are the one who supplies all our needs. We trust in you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. You're going to do some miracles. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.